As I was saying, I'm grateful that the Lord gave me the time to put this all together for us. And, you know, we're talking about all the different events of the last couple of weeks and asking for God's peace. And just to try to simplify it in words that we can all understand, I was thinking the best way to put it is to consider the wedding of Christ and what God has set before us. So the joy that he set before us and the reunion, the greatest reunion, you know, of coming. So what is a wedding? That's our love story with Christ, but there's another love story, and that's this great love story with Joseph and his brothers. And this is what this is all about. God is writing this love story, this longing, this parting of the ways, this incredible earthquake, the blinding and the healing, which can happen to all of us, as we said. But we, in time, come to know, God shows us, those who are his, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And that is an honor and a privilege. It's very humbling because we know there's nothing good in our flesh. And so whoever is God's elect, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. But we also know that it's a very humbling thing, to fearful thing, to fall into the hands of the Lord, because he's working all of it. But as I said, he's working it to the end, that this love story, this incredible moment in time, will transpire and healing will be brought, and it's all by his hand. So we praise God for it. We thank him for it. We ask him for the vision to see the bigger picture. And we're hoping that this study tonight will give us some more insight. We'll be talking about a lot of things that we've been talking about all week, but hopefully we'll see some new things, and or maybe things in a different light, just to bless us and to especially encourage us to love one another and to love our neighbor as ourselves, to see God's hand in all of these things. So here we go. Sit at my right hand. That's the title, Psalm 110. A psalm of David. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through the kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. God is going to make thine enemies thy footstool by dragging us to Christ. John 6:44, no man comes unto him unless the Father drags him. Where we will sit at my right hand, that represents his power, that makes it possible for us to overcome those enemies within that are being destroyed little by little. Ephesians 2:6, and he's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And the promise, John 8:36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And Exodus 23:30, little by little and little I will drive them out from before thee until you be increased and inherit the land. So if we think of Romans 11 for a moment, there's admonition, and we'll look at it, not to be conceited. And God's working with our conceit. And I used to think, well, he says fear because you're grafted in, and they could be grafted back in. But the truth is, God has us bound to the altar, and sometimes we are buffeted and we are put out and then we're dragged back in. That's of the Lord. And Christ says, I will lose none. So these are scriptures that should comfort us and remind us that even though those scriptures are written and sound like some could be cut off and not come back, if they were of us, they will come back. The elect will always, from the foundation of the world, be who they are meant to be. God says, you have been given eyes to see and ears to hear. So scriptures that we're very familiar with, but scriptures that we need to see in the sum of God's word to encourage us. And this is what we're going to be looking at. It ties into a lot of what Steve was talking about, how we are overcomers in Christ and how God wants us to see that. That's why the redeemed of the Lord say they are the redeemed, because they become convinced. And that's a process, undoubtedly, where we come to see that we are Jesus Christ and we are his elect and he's working with us. And the parable discusses that as well. In the afternoon, when the sun sets, the red sunset, there's still trials in the later part of our life. Christ had trials right up to the last week of his life, last moment, last breath. But he was confident, as Paul was confident, as Stephen was confident, the first martyr, because by this point, the day's long over, and we know God is faithful, and he has grown us in faith and love and overcoming. He's made his strength perfect through the weak of the world, and we have a great confidence and a rejoicing in our heart for what we know God can do through these weak vessels that we are. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is all that is within us, and that is what is naturally against Christ and will be conquered in God's elect through Christ. If God will grant that we endure unto the end on the cross with Christ, living by the faith of the Son of God, not only will we be able to overcome those things from within that defile us when they come out, but also we will be able to say with Christ, even as we do today, and hopefully to our last breath, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgiving all those things without, as we saw Christ and Stephen doing, to encourage us that we can do the same thing through God's Holy Spirit. We can forgive, and we can go to the cross, we can confess our faults, and we can be cleansed of all of our iniquity, because Christ is there as our advocate. And if God is dragging us to Christ, that's what we will do. And we will even despise that at first, and then come to not even despise, but love and be thankful for God showing us what we are. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now look at this part. You probably have seen it before. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. So mortifying the deeds of the flesh is a gift of God so that we can fulfill God's will. And that's why we learn obedience by the things we suffer. We go through this lifetime of mortifying the deeds, dying daily, so that, of course, we're recognizing the will of God. And we know that that comes. As someone said earlier, we go where we do not want to go, because God knows that it's through the trials of our life that we cease from sinning and that we are able to fulfill his will. And that's the blessing that's upon the body of Christ that's bound to the altar. Romans 8:37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So our trials and all that we go through, God says, that's me doing that. I am sending these things your way. All things are for your sakes. To witness to the world that you are his witnesses, and he's given you power to be more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. This is our ministry. We are witnesses. Luke 23:34, then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Getting back to that concept. Acts 7:58-16, cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses, this is a negative witness, laid down their cloths at a young man's feet whose name was Saul, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good unto them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. He's able to preserve people and to preserve them unto judgment. And he did that for us until our judgment came, until we started to be crushed by the stone. But that's all of the Lord working it all. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same. So what is love? And again, it's obedience to God's commandments, and how we love and how we set those boundaries are important. It's important for us to learn that. God's teaching us that too. That's a big part of what love is. It's obeying the commandments of God. It's having fidelity in the Word of God. It's listening and loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbor in the same manner, loving our neighbor as ourselves. But God is first in all things. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And God knows who it is that will endure unto the end. And it will be through Christ. And all glory will be unto God because of the work and ship that we are through Jesus Christ. So some interesting things. The symbolism that God's word is showing us in Luke 23:34 is that those who are the enemy of the cross parted his raiment and cast lots. And this symbolism is also expressed in the story of Stephen, who was first martyred in the church when we were reminded, and I read this earlier, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. That casting of lots for Christ's garment that represents his word, that is supposed to be one bread and not divided, or the laying down of their clothes at the young man's feet on the earth, whose name was Saul, are both telling us what we naturally do to Christ's words when we are yet carnal. It's in the earth. We bury our talent in the earth and are full of envy and lust and pride, which we all have until this is burnt out of us through fiery trials that will in time bring about, here's the words, exceeding gladness and exceeding joy. And as we find ourselves being reproached, happy are you. Here's the division of the cloth or the word of God and what they were doing with Christ's garments. For you are yet carnal in the earth. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. And of course, we go from glory to glory, but ultimately we're pressing toward the prize of the mark of the high calling when we're glorified with that new body that God has promised we will have. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. That's just the way it is. Christ said, you will be hated of all men for my name's sake. If his spirit is resting upon you, that's just what will happen. That's our cross. That's what God has called us to bear, and he will give us the strength to bear it. Christ's elect will eventually no longer defile his garments. And it is the judgment that is upon us in this age that is making it possible to remove every spot and wrinkle. Figuratively, our heavens are our footstool that are being conquered through Christ in us. The bruising of our heel, let's just go here for a sec. And David himself saith in the book of Psalms, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. And you can see this footstool here. It's a stamp upon, and the other word, great toe, it says. So it's connected to the foot. The bruising of our heel connects to the thought, till I make thine enemies thy footstool, spoken of in Genesis 3, verses 14 to 21, where we learn that it is God who has put this enmity between us and the woman who represents the church. That enmity between our first nature, that is against Christ's church, that is his body, is typified as thy seed. We are naturally against her seed, which represents the Spirit of God, or the one seed that we are in Christ. I'm sure we're familiar, but Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. The only way we can overcome this enmity that is naturally within us is to have our heads bruised. Another way of saying, unless a seed dies our heads, it will bring forth no fruit. Genesis 3:14-15, and the Lord said, God said unto the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. As we are all learning, this process of overcoming in this age is very painful, and likened unto giving birth, both in Genesis as well as Matthew 24. Our carnal heads, thy head, is being bruised so that we can cease from sinning. And it is Christ within us who is making it possible for us to bruise the head of the serpent, symbolized in this verse in Genesis 25:26, where it says, and after this came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. Esau is our flesh, and that's our head that's being bruised. And his name was called Jacob, which represents Christ in us. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. Isaac, to whom the promise was made unto, is 60 years old. And that age witnesses to us that this is a story that is describing the spiritual battle that we are in against our old man, 6 times 10. The powers and principalities that we are wrestling against. That's what we're wrestling against, not against flesh and blood. Genesis 3:16, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. So there's the birth, the birthing pains. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and your desire shall be to thy husband. We know that word is against, because the flesh is naturally against Christ. And he shall rule over thee. Again, we see the natural enmity that is with us that we can only overcome by Christ in us, who makes it possible for us to drink the cup and say, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. The proper understanding of, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, is better translated, as I said, against our husband, which flesh naturally is against God's Spirit in Christ. We look at Galatians 5:17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And even when God starts to do the things within you, both to will and to do, we our flesh goes, I don't want to go there. Is there some other way, Lord? Is some other way, Father, Christ, in the garden? So flesh is flesh. It can't inherit the kingdom. It serves its purpose. It's a humbling experience. This next section of Genesis is a reminder that Jezebel within us wants to be the head instead of letting Christ be our head. And again, unless the Lord puts us through this crushing experience that his elect go through in this age under the rock, Jesus Christ, we will not be able to rule over sin that constantly desires to rule over our heavens. But we know our hope is in him who has promised we will overcome evil with good. When that enemy within you hungers, feed him with God's word. Give him drink from the living waters. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Genesis 3:17, and unto Adam he said, because you have hearkened unto the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree, of which I commanded you, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake, and sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of your life. Matthew 21:44, and whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. In Revelation 2:20-22, notwithstanding, I have a few things against you, because you suffer that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants who commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. So doesn't that sound like there's a chance they could repent of their deeds? It does. And God writes his word that way, and I've heard this said many times, so that it seems like there's an opportunity here. But the truth of the matter is, if God is determined from the foundation of the world that Jezebel, in this case, is going to repent, she will. And if she doesn't, she doesn't. Now, Jezebel is within us. And so we are blessed to be amongst those who do repent. And we don't despise that repentance, because God leads us out of repentance. And we stop doing what we did before. So some live these words out, and others live that first part, but they're not granted to go on to perfection in this age. And that's the lesson there. So we have to always be careful how we read it and understand that when we're looking at the Word of God, we need to know what this dispensation we're looking at when we're reading. Luke 21:36, watch you therefore, and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Will we watch? Will we trim our lamps? Will God give the elect that extra oil so that we're ready? The answer is yes. Are we deserving of it? The answer is no. Does he save the weak of the world? Yes, he does. Does he preserve the rest for judgment later in the lake of fire? Yes, he does. What a humbling and an awesome calling. It is truly crushing and humbling in itself just to consider that. But it really makes us realize how we need each other as a body of Christ, how we overcome together. We supply each other that comfort and strength to overcome. And God does that. It's a great witness to the world. Genesis 4:7, if you do well, shall you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin lies at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And thou shalt rule over him, of course, is a little snapshot of the salvation of all. Everyone is going to be saved, but it's a process, and each man in his order. Romans 12:20, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him, and if he thirst, give him drink. And in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Luke 21:36, watch ye therefore and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. You know, we could pray always, but we don't have the Spirit without measure like Christ. And so that's part of our lesson, too, as we go through these trials. And they create zeal within us. They create an energy and a desire to do more than we did before. And I'm sure we all understand that, because when you're going through the fiery trials, it's like you're not really thinking about that. You're just trying to preserve your flesh. God says, no, that's got to go, because he knows that's what's going to quicken us. When that flesh is put off and a carnality, then we become a brighter and more blessed people. These last four verses of Genesis we are looking at here are a good lead into our study, where we learn that to sit at my right hand cannot happen until we are matured through Christ by resisting the thorns also and the thistles, which we'll look at, unto the shedding of blood, which Christ did, and going beyond the herb of the field that is a symbol for the milk of the word that we must be weaned off of by the grace and faith of Christ. Eve, the mother of all living, will eventually have one of her sons, Jesus Christ, be born in sacrifice for the sins of all the world, so that all in Adam can be saved. That salvation of all is typified in these words. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Thorns and thistles in Genesis 3:18. In John 19:5, then came Jesus forth wearing a crown of thorns and the purple robes. And Pilate saith unto him, behold, a man shall it bring forth to thee. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. As I mentioned, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, that those herbs, Matthew 24:19, and woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days, who are immature. And God has purposed that, and we know that. It's an admonition for us, and at the same time, it's a prophecy telling us there will be those who will not go beyond that. And that's what Paul says. God willing, we will go beyond her. God willing, we will go into this city or that city. It's up to the Lord. In the sweat of your face shalt thou eat bread to thou return unto the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And this is really just a shadow of this verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, that's that one seed we looked at in Galatians, the body of Christ, it brings forth much fruit. And of course, the first of the first fruits to die, her seed was Jesus Christ. And Adam called his wife Eve because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. 1 John 2:2, and he is a propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And 1 Peter 1:18-19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the traditions of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, knowing that God gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, gives us the victory. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Our first verse, Psalms 110:1. Psalm of David, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. That's really another way of saying if you continue in the truth, it will set you free. If we eat the body and the blood of Christ, we'll be nourished by it. If we're granted to be dragged to Christ and go through the necessary trials and overcome the giants of the land that will meet for us, that will nourish us, then we will be sitting at the right hand of God, and we will be, as it says here, he will make thine enemies thy footstool. As we have seen, unless we are granted to sit thou at my right hand, there will be no true overcoming in this age. Or said another way, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. The words, the Lord said unto my Lord, in this verse represents those who have this high calling in the Lord that is on the backs of those who are not the weak of the world. And God, of course, does that on purpose to keep us humble, to keep us aware and mindful of who it is that's doing this work. They're not given to see what the Lord has prepared for those who love him, those who will be lords of our great Lord. 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And the whole world lies in darkness. That's what John says. Luke 10:24. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there is not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Another great man, another example of how God wants us to look at the world, to love, to see the potential, but to know that they're not of us. We have an altar that they can't eat at. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. 1 Corinthians 1:26, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But as it is written, eye is not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. And Romans 2:8, there it is again. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And Romans 8:28 and Romans 5:5 says, and hope makes not ashamed, for the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. So that's just the privilege and honor that we have to have God's Spirit and that measure of Spirit and the strength of Christ and that extra oil that we need that we provide for each other so that we can endure unto the end of this age. And that's what all of our trials are about. That's trimming the lamp. That's making us aware of who we are, where we're going, and why we're going there, and that we can get there through Jesus Christ as disciples who have loved one another toward one another, which witnesses, and even if the world doesn't understand it, they will one day see that we helped each other through the trials. We were there by the grace of God and by the faith that we're given through Christ. This is the patience and faith of the saints, to just endure unto the end and to be that witness of what God can do through us, through the body of Christ. Psalms 110, verse 2, the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. This is a prophecy that is spoken of in Obadiah as well. And we are Zion today in earnest, and able to see Christ rule in the midst of the church, so that we can be more than conquerors through him that loved us. Ephesians 1:14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory, and who has also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. So it's a sealed deal, as they say. If God has given you that seal, he's going to finish what he started in you. And that's what he says. Be confident that he who has begun a good work in you will finish it. Revelation 1:13, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Romans 8:37, very familiar verses, but very encouraging, reminding us that we're overcomers right now. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, powers, things present, things to come, nor height, depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then verse 3, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. So, this part of God's word encourages us by reminding us that we will be willing in the day of thy power. And meaning, we will be willing to die daily and understand we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We will be willing to drink the cup, Christ says. Philippians 2:13, why will we be willing? For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And Psalms 118, 27, God is the Lord, which has showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. And Matthew 20:23. The womb of the morning is symbolic language for the birth of Christ in us, as he is the morning star who is ruling and reigning in our hearts, where we worship him in the beauty of holiness, the beauties of holiness. Revelation 22:16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Psalms 96:9, O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, fear before him all the earth. The dew of thy youth is a symbol of Christ's life within us, and also a reminder of how fleeting and temporal this life is against the backdrop of eternity. Dew is fleeting, as the flesh of man is, and is a shadow of our lack of loyalty, unless the Lord builds the house. And then we saw that in Peter when he denied Christ. Christ does not deny himself. So Christ gave Peter that backbone that he needed, and that was glorious. Deuteronomy 32:2, just to show a few verses to connect with dew. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as a small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. James 4:14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And so we take no anxious thought of the morrow. We don't boast about it. And of course, that's a process too, because in this world, it's very easy to get our minds off of the prize. But that's why we're here. We're here to help each other stay focused and remember these promises that are exceedingly great and precious. And they're there to encourage us. Hosea 13:3, therefore they shall be as the morning cloud and as the early dew, that passes away, and as the chaff that is driven with the whirlwind out of the floor, and as the smoke out of the chimney. So there's always, you know, there's the negative, but everything in God's word we know is yea. So if it's talking about the destruction of the old man, good. If it's talking about the Holy Spirit likening that unto dew, that's good. That's a good thing. It's all good. It's all yea. Hosea 6:4, O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as the morning cloud, and as the early dew, it goes away. And verse 4 of Psalms 110, the Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. This verse is speaking about Christ who Melchizedek was a type of, but it is also speaking about the Lord of the Lord said unto my Lord in verse 1, who will be king of kings and priests unto God by his power. Revelation 1:6, and has made us kings and priests, has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The Lord has sworn and will not repent, witnesses to the nature of God that changes not, and the certainty of what has already been written, that he is fulfilling and working all according to the counsel of his will. He speaks of things that are not as though they are. Christ looks at us and he knows where we're going to go. He's written our books. He's just fulfilling it through Jesus Christ. Christ is working it in us as we know. Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. And then, verse 5, the Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. The day of God's wrath has both an inward and outward fulfillment. And as we know, his wrath is against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Colossians 3:6, for which things sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. And Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, which we all do until we don't. And that is all of the Lord, his timing. He knows what we have to go through, and he is the one who softens or hardens the heart. It's all for the glory of God. If God is working with us in this age, that wrath will be accomplished as the Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings within us for his purpose of preparing us to be kings and priests. Because God changes not, we will not be ultimately consumed, but rather each man in his order will be judged and brought unto perfection on the symbolic third day. Revelation 17:11 and 12, the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven, and goes under perdition. And 10 horns, which thou saw, are 10 kings. That's the fleshly kings, the self-willed nature of man that's destroyed, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. And Romans 5, verses 20 and 21, moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So Christ is saying it will happen. He's going to finish what he started as through the chastening, through the scourging, through the afflictions and all that we go through, and he'll help us through it all. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So just as certain as we're going to die, and everyone that's died in the grave, just as certain as that has happened, Christ is saying, I will finish this work in you of grace. I will finish it. You will drink the cup. It's going to happen. Luke 13:32, and he said unto them, go you and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. And he's speaking of his body there too. The third day we will be perfected. If we are Jesus Christ, his spirit is in us. This is a promise that he will finish what he has started in us. The day of the Lord, or the day of his wrath that will put an end to our old man, occurs in Jerusalem above, where we are blessed to have our names written. And that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem is symbolic language that reminds us that God's elect are the first to be raised in heavenly places in Jerusalem above. the mother of us all, where we must die daily in order to be God's prophets, who are blessed and holy to have part in the first resurrection. God calls us unto this high calling, and we are, by the grace and faith of God, entering into Jerusalem above. And this is the reason all boasting is excluded as we enter into this holy place in advance of so many. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, Luke 10:20, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven, in Jerusalem above. Romans 11:25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits. And that's the mystery he's talking about, knowing that our names are written in heaven. That blindness, and this part too, of course, if our names are written in heaven and our eyes are open, here's another group, that blindness in part, has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. So the light in them is darkness. They have some truth. The priests, I remember learning this years ago in a study with on Mike's, on his was and will be, that, you know, the priests can get very close and they can walk. And I don't know the priest's name, but we can talk about that after. But two of them were right there dealing with all the holy implements within the temple. And yet they were not called and chosen and faithful. And God caused that to teach us a profound lesson. The weed and the tare within and without is there to strengthen us. God does it. He has set the stage for the salvation of all men, and that's how he's doing it. So lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And he has purposed that. Luke 13:33, nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Jerusalem above. But Jerusalem above, which is above, is free. What does that mean? Well, where the Spirit of God is, there's liberty. We're free. We're free. And the Spirit bears witness that we're his sons. We're free. Which is the mother of us all, yeah. Revelation 26, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, and such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. James 4, verses 13-17, go to now, you that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. So God says, don't boast on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And of course, we need God's peace, and we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem above, our heavens, which we heard Donna talk about. That peace is really important. When God gives it to us, it's a gift. It's a miracle. Peace that passes all understanding. Taking no anxious thought for the morrow, like Christ said. Knowing there'll be wars and rumors of wars, see that you be not troubled. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. And that's all of us until it isn't. And that's what God is showing us through our many, many diverse trials. For many are called, but few are chosen. Verse 6, he shall rule, he shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. This verse points to the rulership that the elect will have as we judge among the heathen. And ultimately, because we were blessed to be made conformable unto his death in this age via judgment, we will also judge all of God's creation in the lake of fire. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection, and such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. 1 Corinthians 6:3, know you not that you shall judge angels? How much more the things that pertain to this life? Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So the Gentiles within us, that within and without. the whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken part of Matthew 21:44 is when Christ will rule with a rod of iron in Revelation 2:27. The lake of fire or great white throne judgment is represented by, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder, which the elect are experiencing today. Philippians 3:10-11. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. He overcame the devil. We heard in Steve's study the difference, very important, and distinction being made in our dispensation, that we are overcoming the devil. That's what an overcomer is, and we die daily. If by any means that I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. So his desire and our desire is just, Lord, keep us focused on the prize of the mark of the high calling, because we know it's a great honor. And there will be great joy in the morning, because it's more blessed to give than to receive. And the angels will sing to God. We will all sing if we're in that first resurrection, holy, holy, holy. Because we're acknowledging that God put us through a process, a sanctification process, that he's dealt with our flesh, and that we have been blessed to be amongst those who were judged in this age. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him. Did I read that? Okay, right here. 1 Peter 4:17, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? We are wounding the world by withholding and giving rain in due season at this symbolic 1,000-year period, so that in the end, the occasion that we have been seeking against the world will have its culmination in the lake of fire, also known as the Great White Throne Judgment. Elijah typifies this time in Scripture for us as described in James chapter 5. And he shall fill the places with the dead bodies, reminds us that a seed must die before it brings forth fruit, and the natural precedes the spiritual. It says in James 5:17-18, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth but by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. No conversion occurs until the lake of fire. That happens after the 10 times 10 times 10 ruling over the flesh of mankind, ultimately revealing, and this is the purpose, to mankind that perfection of the flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of God, but the destruction of it will on the third day. And that will occur in the lake of fire or great white throne judgment for the rest of the world. For us, it's happening today. That's the incredible miracle. God is, as he is, so are we. As Christ was, we are going through the same thing, and we have this assurance that Christ can succor us. He can comfort us. He's been through it. He can take us through it. You will drink the cup, he says, and on and on. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection, on such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. The 1,000-year millennium is a symbol of a real time period. It reminds us that the flesh of all men who have not known Christ inwardly, can only go unto perfection on the third day. That perfection is accomplished by the elect administering the lake of fire on that third day. God's elect are judged today initially as babes in our water baptism events, and also judged through the deeper baptisms of fire that we are going through, being blessed to experience this verse. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall... Now, can we purge ourselves from these? No, we can't. We know we can't. He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work, prepared to be a king and a priest, prepared to do that which God has set before us to do. But in a great man's house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. All to the glory of God. If he's going to work that in our lives, the weak of the world, and we will be those kings and priests, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Psalms 110, verse 7. I hope I'm not going too long here, sorry. He shall drink of the brook in the way, therefore shall he lift up the head. In this last verse of our study, we see the symbolic language that reveals to us how it is possible that we can lift up the head as we look to the hills from whence comes our help. Psalms 121, verses 1 and 2, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. It is only those who shall drink of the brook in the way who will be able to go from strength to strength and endure unto the end of this age in Christ. God is the one who makes a way where there seems to be none for his children, and is glorified by making his strength perfect through the weak of the world first, as his kind of first fruits. Romans 8, 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Psalms 84, 7. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. That's a prophecy of God's children and those who have Christ in them. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with an open face, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed. This is going from strength to strength, into the same image, from glory to glory, from obedience to obedience, even as by the Spirit of the Lord that brings that liberty. Isaiah 43:16, thus saith the Lord, which makes a way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters. But every man in his own order in those waters. Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ that is coming. In James 1:18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. It is those who shall drink of the brook in the way in this age that will receive the undeserved free gift of that extra measure of God's Holy Spirit, that will make it possible for us to trim our lamps and endure unto the end. That precious gift and blessing that we are called unto is to sit at my right hand. 1 Peter 3:9, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing, knowing that you are there unto call, that you should inherit a blessing. Psalms 84:7, they go from strength to strength, every one of them, in Zion appears before God. Matthew 25, verses 7 to 11. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so. Well, that's not there, but said, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go you rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Now that's all of the Lord. The Lord is making Joseph ready in that sense to be that ruler. And he's making him ready to receive his brothers. But he's made ready first. That's what this is telling us. Of course we know that. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, the other virgins, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. What does that mean? That's Romans 8, 9, what we just said. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. I know you not. But look at the relationship that's here. This is what I want to point out. You can have a deep relationship with Christ. You can be doing works in the temple. You can be doing many mighty works, as people will say. And Christ says, I know you not. So God is so humbling, because we have to shake our heads and say, Lord, who am I? Really? Yes, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You are Jesus Christ. You are his bride. He is working with you. What an honor. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man comes. And this is what we want to watch for. Watch our hearts, that there's no conceit, that we give God all the glory and thank him for the timing, for this great love story that we talked about at the beginning of bringing these brothers together again. And, you know, many of us have been deeply bruised this week because we feel a loss, like a death, like we've lost someone we love deeply, and we do love them deeply. And God caused that. He wants it to, he wants us to feel that separation. He wants us to experience it up to the bottom. He wants us to experience it. He wants us to know that he set the stage for Joseph's brothers through us. And we're feeling that anxiety, that pain, that suffering, but we're going to overcome it. We're going to be healed. And he's going to give us peace that passes all understanding in time so that we can minister to them in the lake of fire. We'll be able to comfort them with the comfort that he's comforting us today through these trials. So are these trials important? Are they vastly important to our rulership as kings and priests? I would say so. That affliction and persecution, that tribulation, that suffering, that rejection that Christ experienced and is comforting us with today is extremely critical and central to our becoming kings and priests. If we don't suffer, we won't reign and rule with them. So we must praise God and thank him for all of it and be careful not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. Contrarywise, blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. You are Christ's inheritance. And that's the Psalms 110. I hope you were blessed by it, everyone. You want to unmute everyone? Thank you, V.
It's Cheryl.
Yes.
I just have to go. I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you so much. Really, really enjoyed that study. It really ministered. And I love you guys. And I know this is just a new end and beginning. And I'm looking forward to catching up soon. But I have to go and really appreciate you all.
Love you too, Cheryl. Thank you so much. Thank you for being here.
God bless you.
Love you.
Bye.
Love
you. Bye. Bye now.
Bye.
There we go. All right, go ahead.
Good night.
Oh.
Yeah, go ahead, Donna.
Good night. Oh.
Good night, Donna.
Good night, Donna.
Love you.
Love you.
Bye, bye for now.
Love you too. Thanks a lot. It was great.
Good.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Go ahead, Dennis. Oh, you're muted.
Yeah, I was getting over there. I didn't know if anybody had left. I wanted to bring out a couple scriptures. First, the one in Acts, when you... I don't remember what the scripture was. We're going to have to figure this out so we can see both screens somehow. I don't know how we're going to do that. But
oh.
I mean, you might not be able to do it now, but, you know, in the future, we'll have to.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
I can let you share their screen. You click on share, they'll allow you to share it.
Okay. Okay, let's do that.
Yeah, Dennis has to click on it, and then you allow him to share his screen.
Oh, I was just going to look at their screen.
Oh, well, they can bring up their screen, and you tell them where to go then.
Okay. So I was just going to go in Acts there, you know, where you talked about Stephen, once they stoned him, you know. It said, it was interesting that it says that he fell asleep. It didn't say that he died. And all through there, we know that Christ, he never brings out people about people dying.
That's right.
Because they fell asleep.
Yeah. Because,
the reason that he does that is because if he would have died, being Stephen, being one of the elect, then he would have had to face a second death. That's an interesting point that I had not seen before until we went through all what we've been through lately.
Hmm.
I want to also remember that. Wendy told me to let y'all know that in case she didn't show up, that she was going to be out tonight with Martian now.
Right.
She said hi. And then in Romans 1:18, if you can go there for me.
Who's
I think that's Aaron.
Aaron?
Yeah. 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. When I was in Babylon, in other churches and such, I always put that outwardly, even in my own flesh. I looked at, you know, sins of the flesh. But that's, if you understand what that's speaking about when man trying to make himself righteous. And that is ungodliness and unrighteousness, men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. By me trying to make myself, you went over that about the covering, how they tried to cover themselves. Mm-hmm. Then he killed the lamb or whatever it was, and then he made them coat of skin. He has to cover us. But we become ungodly and we become unrighteous when we try to cover ourselves with our own righteousness.
Yes, yes.
And the other thing that you mentioned in there somewhere about that made me think about the priests when they go into do the sacrifices. And the priest, before he goes into the high priest, Aaron, before he would go into the Holy of Holies, he would have to present a sacrifice for himself, correct?
Yeah.
That was him dying to the flesh. Because if he would not have done that sacrifice when he went into the Holy of Holies, he would have had to have died the second death.
Very good.
Wow. Never thought about that before until what we went through and went through.
That's very good. Every sacrifice is salted with fire.
Yeah.
So that's our sacrifice. But it is in this age, and it's fiery. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That was it. I appreciate everything. And
You're welcome.
For the study. I really like the screen set up here, though. Really, the screen's a lot bigger, at least on the TV. We got it hooked up to the television. And
oh, good.
It's a lot bigger and brighter for us over here.
That's good to hear. Good. Is the font large enough on the...
Yeah, it's plenty big enough. Yeah, it looks really good. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. And Ken's going to help you there get set up tomorrow, right, Dennis?
Yeah.
All right, sounds good.
If you can come in about 6:30.
Oh, I can't. Yeah, well, there'd be we come on at 6 o'clock our time, so I'd be 7 o'clock your time. So I'll come in. I can come in. What do you say? Coming at 5:30? That would be 6:30 your time, I guess.
Yeah, 6:30. Yeah, and I'll make you host and walk you through everything.
All right then. Thank you, Ken. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, bud.
Yeah. We're looking forward, Dennis.
Yeah.
Anybody else? Yeah. Any other comments?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
I don't know how to raise my hand. Does anybody know how to do that?
Yeah, Mike, down at the bottom of your screen, it says participants. If you click on that, all of them go to the right-hand side, and down at the bottom, it says raise your hand.
Right there.
Yep.
Click on that.
Leave it.
All right, there, I got my hand up.
There's a little hand.
Yeah, there you go.
Maybe that's a little, maybe that'll help everybody else because we didn't know.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What I wanted to read, Tony, was you alluded to it, was where is it, Matthew? Matthew 7, verse 23. Well, I'll read verse 22 and 23. Many will say to me in that day, then we need to ask, what day is this? What day is this? Have we not prophesied in your name and in your name done cast out devils and in your name done many wonderful works?
Wonderful.
Then will I profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Now, will anybody who has judged themselves in this life and have died to the flesh in this life and have overcome in this life, will anybody be saying that in the first resurrection? No, because that's the only people that come up in the first resurrection. So this is not talking about the first resurrection. This is talking about the resurrection to judgment, because these people come up in the first resurrection have already been judged. They judged themselves so that they would not be condemned to the second death. So I just wanted to point that out. There's a distinction there made, and we need to make that distinction.
Thank you very much. That's a great witness.
Thank you, Tony.
Well, it's been a blessing, everyone.
And thank you for the study, Tony.
I'm sorry, we didn't see your hand. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, thank you for the study. It was excellent. But I also wanted to tell Mike, whatever you did, you came in nice and loud. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Lord healed the machine, I guess. I didn't do anything except speak. That's all I did was say what was on my mind. And Paul says, I want to know. Can you bring that up, honey? The power is Philippians 3:10.
Philippians 3:10.
I'm going to read verse 9 and 10, and be found in him, you know, because there's nothing that we do that in any way, I mean, we have nothing to do with it. We all know that. Be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. Found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Christ's resurrection is not to judgment. And the reason it's not is because he is judged while he is in this life, in this age. Those five virgins that have their lamps trimmed and all in advance. That you might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. His sufferings were in the flesh. He overcame the evil one. There's no evil one to overcome in the lake of fire because he's in there being purged by those who are prepared in this age. Know the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable to his death. His death was in the flesh while he was still struggling against the evil one. He was tempted of the devil. He was tempted the night of his apprehension. He had a struggle in the flesh, judged in the flesh, so that he would not be condemned with the world to a resurrection of judgment, having never been judged. And Christ and all of his Christ are judged in this age so that they will not be condemned with the world. So that they will not be hurt of the second death, which is a judgment, what Christ calls the resurrection of judgment. Could you turn to John 5, verse 28 and 29? And we'll see what Christ has to say about the two judgments. Okay. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming when all that are in the earth, in the graves,
In the graves,
shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Now, he doesn't say there are two resurrections here, but he does. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, that's the first resurrection, the resurrection of life, the crown of life. And they that have done evil unto the resurrection of judgment. Christ was not raised to be judged. Those in the first resurrection are not raised to be judged. He was raised to rule. We will be raised to rule if we are granted to be in that blessed and holy first resurrection.
Right.
Thank you again. That's all.
You're welcome. I have a witness to that verse, Mike, and I thank you very much for that. Revelation 11. So this is what we've been saying. It's the same thing, but just it's very clear. Revelation 11:3, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks that standing before the God of the earth. So they prophesy for 3.5 years. Christ's ministry was approximately, there's no scripture that lays that out, but you can deduce through scripture that it was approximately 3.5 years. And it's important because we fill up what's behind of the afflictions of Christ to make that 7. I've said this before, but it just was such an aha moment because, as Mike is saying, it's in the flesh, it's overcoming it, it's Christ doing it. So he's gone through it 3.5 years, and 3.5 is 7. That's a complete ministry of Christ. We are his ministry on this earth. We are his ministers. We're ministering to one another, and we're learning through these trials. And of course, it's so that we can minister to the rest later. So it's just, it's all through scripture. It's in Acts 2, Acts 4:27. Does it say that? What's that one now? That comes to mind. For the truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom you have anointed, both Herod, Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together. That's everybody, really. For to do whatever your hand and your counsel determined before to be done, all according to the counsel of God's will. And the same thing is for us, as he is, so are we. It's all determined from the counsel of God's will, from the foundation of the world, that we would suffer with Christ and endure unto the end, drink the cup, and to the end that we might be able to minister to the rest. So it's all saying the same
thing. Tony, would you read verse 27?
Yes, 27 says, for of a truth against your holy child Jesus, whom you have anointed, both Herod.
I'm sorry, I meant verse 26.
Oh, 26. The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ.
That's the first resurrection there.
Yes.
Christ, the Lord and his Christ.
Amen.
I mean, Christ is being crucified here. I'm not denying that. You know, the kings of the earth stood up and crucified
Christ. Yeah, exactly.
But they're crucifying his Christ because he has a special people. He has an anointed that are not going to be judged when they're raised up. The reason they're not judged is because if we would judge ourselves, 1 Corinthians 11, 31 and 32, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, and we are judged in this life, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world to the resurrection of, that I just read there in John 5:29, the resurrection. Did we read that? John 5:29, did we read that?
We'll go there right now. 5:29?
Yeah. Some should come forth to they that have done good to the resurrection of life, ready to rule. Being rulers like Christ was, raised like Christ, the power of his resurrection. It contrasts this resurrection here with the resurrection that's after the millennium. They shall come forth that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil, they're going to come up in another resurrection called the resurrection of judgment. The resurrection of judgment is for those who were not judged while they were in the flesh. These people in the second death are not in their flesh. They don't overcome the evil one because he's there in the lake with them.
That's right.
Of course, we are that lake. We are the fire of that lake. And the Lord has put his word in our mouth, and it is the fire. It's the fire. It's in our mouths, not in theirs.
Amen. Thank you, Mike. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I appreciate the lesson, Tony. It was very fulfilling.
Oh, I'm glad, Ken. Praise God. I'm glad. Thank you for being here, all of you. You encourage us so much.
You're welcome.
I want to thank you, Tony and Gail, and just tell you that I really truly enjoyed your teaching tonight.
Thank you, Paul.
It was a real blessing to see you.
Yes, it was. Wow. What a,
such a blessing to see you.
After all that time.
Blessing to see you, Scott.
Thank you. Yeah. Good to see all you guys, too. Looking forward to meeting you.
Yes, Scott. Get some play hugs in.
Yeah, that will be awesome.
Amen. Thank you, Tony and Gail.
Thank you.
Get a good rest, everyone.
We love you.
Thank you, Tony and Gail.
You're welcome. We love you.
Thank you for the study.
You're welcome.
Those of you who can, be with us with Dennis in the morning.
Yeah.
All right. Bright and early. We'll see y'all.
Okay.
Good night, everybody.
Excellent study.
Good night, Paul.
Good night, everybody.
Night,
everyone.
Thanks.
Night, Cameron.
Night, Cameron.
Good night, everyone. Good night,
Charles.
Good night, Brian.
Night, Stephen. Night, everybody.
Good night,
Cameron. Bye.